Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. A few weeks ago, one of our followers, at Nick SLC, tweeted at us. In recent years, I've seen more squirrels in my neighborhood. Someone told me they're invasive and detrimental to birds and other native wildlife and should be discouraged. True? I feel like this is something CityCast SLC would investigate for me. Great news for you, Nick. Today, that is exactly what we're going to do. It's Monday, January 30th, 2023. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Ellen Erickson, you are coordinating the Natural History Museum's Citizen Science Project, where we can track fox squirrel goings-on for research. What is the most unusual sighting of the fox squirrel you've come across?
What a great question. Fox squirrels are such a fascinating creature living here in northern Utah. And the Natural History Museum has a citizen science project where we're reaching out to the community, asking people to submit survey responses to us of observations that they make of fox squirrels. In my own backyard, I have a family of red-tailed hawks that nest in the springtime, and they tend to have 2 to 3 hatchlings every year. And there's a family of fox squirrels that nest in the same tree, and the squirrels have no fear of these red-tailed hawks. Hawks are definitely predators of fox squirrels. The squirrels are just hanging out right near the nests and just have no fear. I'll watch thinking, oh, this is the day that the hawk's going to take a squirrel. And sometimes the hawk will try and the squirrel just kind of runs away and comes right back.
Wow. Fearless.
Fearless squirrels. And they truly are. They don't, we've heard wild stories of squirrels, you know, not being scared of people's dogs, not being scared of people's cats, taking on rats at people's bird feeders, not backing down when they see predators like red-tailed hawks and goshawks. In a way, that makes them even more fascinating because here's this species that's like, hey, I belong here. Yeah. I'm going to hold my ground. And so that allows them to be more successful and avoid predation in a way.
Yeah, they're in it to win it.
They're in it to win it.
Can you describe for me what a fox squirrel looks like? How do we know it's what we're looking at?
The eastern fox squirrel looks very similar in coloring to a fox. It's got this reddish-orange color, big bushy tails that they use, you know, to cover up their bodies to protect them from weather and for signaling to other squirrels to communicate, essentially, and also for balance when they're jumping. They're incredibly acrobatic, so they're often... you're seeing them on top of roofs, on top of fence lines, running along power lines, jumping from tree to tree. Physically, they're really fascinating creatures. They're able to rotate their wrists in all sorts of different directions so they can climb up and down trees really quickly. But their main characteristics are this orange body, big bushy tails, and they're large, especially compared to the native tree squirrel species, the American red squirrel, which is much smaller and a little daintier looking comparatively.
I didn't know their tails protected them from weather, like a little umbrella.
They'll just kind of perch them up.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard. Good grief. Can't believe my dog wants to eat them. So rude.
Well, they really do just look like this little toy. They're like, hey, look at me, fluffball. Yeah. I'm sure they're very enticing and, you know, they move all quickly.
So is there one particular moment that someone's reported that like kind of made you all chuckle?
I'm with a lot of scientists all the time. So, you know, we chuckle about other sorts of things. There really have been some interesting observations that have made the research team think a lot differently and think about things that they maybe weren't looking at prior, specifically observations that people have made about squirrels and the things that they're eating and the things that they're interacting with in the urban environment, and also things that they've noticed about how squirrels' teeth look when they're observing them. Squirrels are rodents, and rodents their front teeth are constantly growing. And because of that, they need to be grinding them down on things. And most frequently, that's happening on the food that they're consuming. Mm-hmm. For squirrels especially, it's a hard tree nut that they're, you know, grinding down as they're getting into a nut that they can eat. And especially in urban environments, they're not really accessing that type of food a lot here in Utah. And so many of the squirrels' teeth or front teeth can be really long. And when they're too long, they can't close and then they can't chew properly. And that eventually can lead to death. That's led the research team to thinking differently about squirrels and their interactions with the urban environment when it comes to the food that they're eating. Because the eastern fox squirrel is not native to Utah, it's native to eastern portions of the United States. The food that they would typically eat isn't always here. They're making it work. There are lots of things that they find to eat, which is why they're really becoming successful here in northern Utah. But it's not the food that they need necessarily, because it's not quite hard enough to grind those teeth down successfully.
They're like, wait a minute, funeral potatoes? This isn't going to do it.
they're definitely not eating potatoes. Like, I shouldn't say definitely not, but they have a varied diet. And so it's not just nuts, but they're eating insects and plants. And we do get reports of squirrels getting into people's gardens, their fruit trees. And sometimes, you know, harvesting apricots before a resident is able to get out and get their own apricots off the tree.
These fox squirrels have really captured Salt Lake's imagination. One of the reasons we invited you on this show is because a listener wrote in and was like, why are we overrun with squirrels all of a sudden? It feels like they're everywhere. What makes the fox squirrel so special compared to the other squirrels that we have here?
They're an intriguing species, especially scientifically, because they're not native to this portion of the United States. But they've been here for about, since around 2011 is when the eastern fox squirrel was first spotted here in Salt Lake City along the Jordan River.
That's really recent.
Pretty recent. And so ecologically speaking, it's a fascinating time to study this newly introduced species as it's becoming established in a place.
Do we know how the fox squirrel got here? Because 2011, I'm just like, that feels, how did for so long the fox squirrel not get to Utah, right? Like, do we know what introduced them?
It's a great question. We may never really know for sure. Most likely it has to do with humans introducing them in some way. When it comes to, you know, the things that squirrels like in an ecosystem, especially a tree squirrel, trees are the most important thing that they need. Mm. If you think about Salt Lake City and the Wasatch Front in general, most of the landscape that's west of us is pretty void of trees.
Yeah.
Same with north and south of us. And then you've got, of course, this big mountain range on the eastern portions of the city filled with lots of conifer trees. And those evergreens are places that fox squirrels can hang out, but it's not a preferred habitat for them because they prefer trees that are deciduous. They're losing their leaves in the wintertime and because those afford food sources and shelter for them. And so the likelihood that they would be able to, on their own, journey across the Rocky Mountains, across the Wasatch from a place like Denver, where they're also not native, but have been established for much longer, they couldn't do it on their own. So maybe they're hitching a ride in some kind of a vehicle. Maybe a person brings them down on purpose. Either way, Ground Zero is sort of along the Jordan River in Salt Lake, and the habitat was favorable enough there for them that they were able to successfully reproduce and continue expanding beyond that. And so the data that we're collecting will start to tell a pretty interesting story.
If I say to you, I need to improve my posture, chances are you are groaning back at me, ugh, same. And if you're open to changing that, connect with Chandler at Embodied Patience. She teaches the Alexander Technique, an educational method for understanding our movement habits. The Alexander Technique has long been a favorite of stage actors and musicians, people with famously good posture. And now Chandler's practice makes it available to all Salt Lakers. I work at a desk and I spent a decade sleeping on memory foam. My spine is doing its absolute best. And when I spent an hour with Chandler, I was surprised how easy it actually is to stand up straight, if you're doing it right. There was a weightlessness that I didn't see coming, and very gentle considerations made my arms feel longer and my head feel taller. Visit embodiedpatience.com to connect with Chandler and learn how to move with more ease, less pain, and more joy.
Well, let's get into some of the perceptions or misperceptions, because one of the questions someone wrote into us is, are these fox squirrels bad for birds? Do we know?
You know, squirrels do have a varied diet and do occasionally eat birds, especially when they're young, eggs.
I didn't know that.
Trees. They can, yeah. And so are fox squirrels in town eating eggs and hatchlings? Potentially. We don't really have observations of those just yet. Fox squirrels they're not invasive because they aren't having these like obvious negative impacts on the environment. They're just introduced for the time being because they're here, they're hanging out,
right.
And we've got a lot to learn. But people do have concerns when it comes to birds. And again, that's yeah. People who are observing these sorts of behaviors in their own yards.
I love my birding people, but they are very specific about that. They don't want anything to disrupt their bird watching. And I can imagine, like, if you're noticing that there are more squirrels and less birds in your backyard, you're ready to place blame on the squirrels.
Totally. And, you know, just because there might be fewer squirrels or fewer birds in your yard, but you now see fox squirrels, it doesn't mean the squirrels are eating them necessarily. They're out competing them for food. As people have likely observed, fox squirrels can be sort of aggressive when it comes to food sources and, you know, your pets and whatever. So they're like, hey, I'm here, I'd like to have this bird seed. Hmm. And they're bigger than a songbird is, and, you know, able to chase them off.
Well, the red squirrels were here first. That feels pretty undisputed. So has the arrival of the fox squirrel created any sort of beef between the red squirrel and the fox squirrel?
Yeah, it's another great question. The American red squirrel is a native tree squirrel species to this portion of the country. They prefer conifer trees, so they're hanging out in pine trees a lot, or, you know, evergreen trees, and they're eating those cones. Based on the types of reports we get, they seem to coexist, and they have different tree preferences. And so the fox squirrels in these deciduous trees, the red squirrels in these conifer trees, they have different food needs by and large. And so we get reports from people who see both in their yards hanging out. Liberty Park in Salt Lake City is a place where you can see Eastern fox squirrels, American red squirrels, and also the rock squirrel, which is a ground squirrel, sort of similar in size to a fox squirrel. All three of those species coexist in Liberty Park together. Huh. But we also hear reports of people who say, oh, I used to have American red squirrels, and now it's only fox squirrels. And so, you know, more to learn on that front.
I do feel like you all maybe need to make like a word cloud out of all these submissions that you've received, because I would be curious what the like dominant descriptive words or themes are.
I'll pass that along. I love that idea.
Yeah, please. Okay, last myth busty question is, should we be feeding squirrels?
The museum sort of takes a stance on, you know, like we're interested in science and, you know, educating the public. And so when it comes to management and that sort of thing, it's not really our wheelhouse. And we leave that to other people. But we get this question a lot. And specifically, people say, what can I feed squirrels? And so when it comes to bird seed, we certainly would recommend that people try to have feeders that are as squirrel-proof as possible. You know, bird seed is certainly a source of nutrition for them, but it's not ideal. When you say, should we feed them, I think that's sort of a personal preference with somebody. And if they feel like they'd like to provide that nutrition to a squirrel in their neighborhood, that's up to them. And if that's the case, then the types of foods that squirrels would benefit most from are nuts that are very hard-shelled, like a walnut, for example, that's in its shell that a squirrel has to really work at to extract that nut on the inside.
Yeah, when I was young, we used to feed them peanuts. But we were also throwing bread for ducks, and I think that probably wasn't a good thing. So,
someone in my neighborhood definitely feeds squirrels peanuts as well, and I find the shells under the tree where I see them sitting a lot.
Yeah.
Another question we get a lot from people are, you know, how do I get rid of them? I don't want them here anymore. And when it comes to it, the eastern fox squirrel is part of our lives in Salt Lake now. The best thing we can do is learn how to live alongside them. And that includes thinking about ways to squirrel-proof part of your home, especially if you find them getting into your attic, which is not uncommon. Squirrels need places to live and to nest. And so if they can't find that in trees or make their own nests, they're going to be looking to human-built structures. And so if you don't want that, think about ways that you can shore that up. If they're getting into your garden because they're interested in something you're planting, think about ways that you could try to keep squirrels out of the garden. And we were meeting people early on in the project who would come and tell us these stories about catching squirrels and trapping them in their yard and then driving them somewhere else to release them. And it's tricky for multiple reasons. One is if you have favorable habitat at your house where squirrels are hanging out and you trap them and move them somewhere else, other squirrels are going to come. And then the squirrels that you're physically moving to a new place, you know, that's how species can expand outside of their range. And, you know, potentially a reason that they're here now was somebody saying, I don't want this anymore. Mm. Let me take it there. That's really something we would never recommend is moving any kind of species to a new place.
Right. And you're just sweeping sand back into the ocean. It's not going to solve the problem.
Well, I'd love to encourage people, you know, whether you're seeing squirrels in your yard or whether you're not, the Natural History Museum of Utah is really interested to know that. And we've got a survey up on our website. Why not learn as much as we can? And that's going to help us understand how to better live with these new neighbors that we're finding in our urban environments.
When will we start to see results from this survey?
You know, we've been reporting out on them yearly. Every December, the museum hosts an event called Squirrel Fest, which is a whole week where we're getting the word out, collecting a whole bunch of data. We're aiming to do a data showcase in February 2023 to report back on Squirrel Fest.
Please call it Squirrel Jam. Please call it Squirrel Jam.
Noted.
Ellen Erickson, Citizen Science Manager at the Natural History Museum of Utah. Thank you for your time. Vive la Squirrel Fest. I'm so excited.
Thanks so much, Allie. It's been a pleasure.
For years, Ellen's colleagues at the Natural History Museum heard rumors of another wildlife sighting, fireflies. So in 2014, they launched a citizen study to track firefly sightings in the West. And it turns out we do have fireflies in Utah. But we still have a lot to learn about them. And they are much, much more elusive than squirrels. So yes, please keep an eye on the fox squirrels in your neighborhood. But can you also let the museum know if you catch a glimpse of a lightning bug? You are not crazy. It's not an alien, though, like the aliens, they are among us. I dropped both study links in the show notes. That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Hey, don't forget to send us your awkward or very small Lake City stories of dating in this valley. We're working on something special for Valentine's Day. You can email us at saltlake@citycast.fm or text us 801-203-0137. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Bye!